And we are live. We are live. Hey, mate. I've got my English breakfast with me.
Got a proper cup of tea, you know what I mean?
Well, I just realized this actually tastes like tea. This is actual tea.
What I was because you haven't got the fucking chamomile shite you usually drink, that's why.
I think I just grew up right
you
now.
You have? You'll start growing chest hair before you know it.
Yeah, it's very good. Sorry to those who tuned in earlier. I had a bit of a coughing fit. It's not over. I don't want to talk too soon. But nonetheless, welcome. Hello and welcome to the Blue Abroad Show here on Monday, the 24th of July, 2023. I'm Terry. I've got Pom with me. We do also have a special guest. Nick Wishart is joining us. He's just having some technical issues as we speak. So we'll get him in as soon as he's ready to go. Mate, what's going on? Big night tonight. Scenes.
Mate, always scenes around here, mate. Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, how bad can you complain? How bad can you feel? Five in a row. Life's good. Life's good, mate. Life's good.
Absolutely. We didn't picture it happening. 5 weeks ago, but we are here nonetheless, and it feels good. It feels good to feel good again and be optimistic again. I think a lot of us found ourselves, maybe not everyone, but a lot of us found ourselves in a spot of just uncertainty. So it's good to be on the other end. I'm going to try Nick. Nick, we got you?
Boys, how are we?
We hey are up. Good. You are loud and clear. We are sorted, mate. Loud and clear.
Beautiful. We sorted it.
Welcome to the show, mate. How are you going?
Mate, I'm good. Blues are flying, aren't they? Life's good at the moment. It's a good time to be a Baggers fan.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was just saying before I brought you on that it's, what was it, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago after the Bombers game, I think everyone was affected in one way or another, and it was just like a real test of the support. Like, we're always going to support, but a real test of belief in this group and what they're doing, and 5 weeks later they've seemingly found something.
Absolutely. And look, granted, four of the five teams we've played in the past 5 weeks we've won, granted that four of those sides aren't world beaters, but it's not the fact that they've won, it's how we've won, it's the systems. We're starting to see more of system and more structure, more game plan, and we've actually got a bit of an identity again. It's been a while since Carlton's had a brand. And again, it's only a small test sample, 5 weeks, but I think we're starting to see what this group is going to be made of.
Yeah, no doubt. Pommy, what do you take of the rediscovery of the brand?
Just faith, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing in life. A little bit of self-confidence, what it can do for you. You can do marvelous, wonderful things when you have a bit of belief. And just seeing the boys go from being incredibly defensive and tentative to now a bit of a devil-may-care attitude in the boys. You're starting to see Kemp take on them corridor kicks, Saad running, which we haven't seen what feels like an eternity, him daring to break lines. Cripper, when he was playing, going back to his vintage rambustious best. And everyone's thriving, aren't they? Even the players that we probably didn't like or we criticised a lot, they're starting to come out. And I always think certain players in this list are players that I would say are confident players. Jack Silvani would be number one confidence player. If you give him a little bit of time, a little bit of TLC, he shows you where he is. We saw it early doors and we're seeing it now. And TDK, he looked like a lost lamb 8 weeks ago. And Jesus, dare I say it, shades of Max Gorn in him this week. Second best ruckman ranked this week in the AFL behind Timmy English. He's starting to look a world beater. Don't know what's happened. Whatever happened at Ed Curno Farm, fuck me. Everyone needs to go down to Ed Curno Farm.
Yeah, I think you go to Ed Curno's farm to fix, like, a potential divorce. You go to Ed Curno's farm to fix the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mate, anything. You just go to Ed Curno's farm.
Mate, honestly, I'm going to book my second honeymoon, Ed Kerner's farm. I reckon that might be the weekend of my life.
Oh, God. Nick, I mean, it's a weird one. How did you watch the game on the weekend? Because it was so calm. I'm just not used to it. How was your experience?
So my experience is a bit of a different one. So the weekend's game was actually the first Victorian-based game that I have missed live that wasn't directly due to me having COVID or COVID lockdowns or whatever. In it all, I think about 2016 or 15 was the first time I missed a game in Melbourne.
Thank you, Mrs. Pond.
So it was very strange for me, A, not being there, and B, having to just watch a whole game on a replay and stuff. It just was very strange for me. But I feel that I was watching it already knowing what was going to happen because I knew the result and that sort of thing, and everyone had told me all the highlights. And it was very I was just stunned to see after four games in a row where they've won four games, playing West Coast, we've got so many guys getting rested and a few guys out with injury. You could have very much easily forgiven Carlton turning up, having a bruise-free day, having a walk in the park, winning by 6-7 goals and just getting the job done very quietly and softly. But they played their brand. They came out and credit, full credit to Voss, the assistant coaches, the leadership, so Jacob, Doc, Walshy, they came out like men possessed and they absolutely obliterated West Coast, and it took them 12 minutes. The game was done within 12 minutes. And then they were able to start taking a step back in the next three quarters because they got the job done really quickly and swiftly. And I think that that intent and that pressure that they just came out frenetic pace was on brand, that we have this brand now where we are going to be a high-pressure forward half team. We're going to force you into making mistakes by foot. And when we get the ball, we're going to move the ball faster. And what I'm also noticing is that when we're moving the ball, a lot more shorter kicking, a lot more handballing. It doesn't have to go long to move fast is one of the things I'm noticing. And they were very, very good. I really want to sing the praises of the leaders and the coaching staff because to be able to get the whole game, and again, it's only West Coast, we know, but it took them 12 minutes to beat West Coast on the weekend. I think that's a really, really promising sign.
Yeah, no doubt. Chat, three words to describe round 19, please. I'll get them up. Pommy, in years gone by, when we'd come up against a team that's in that bottom bracket, danger game would be the phrase that many of us would use. So I think it was like, yes, it was only West Coast, but at the same time, these are games 5 years ago, or let's say, 3 to 4 years ago, where it's such a heavy expectation to win and win well was there. That's just not something we've been able to do. How quickly did you move on from the West Coast win?
Probably about 16 minutes 22 in the first quarter, and I started thinking about Collingwood, to be honest. I mean, we had the time of our lives on the watch along. I mean, me and Bugs Bell were trying to make every song that I've ever sung politically correct. The fourth quarter, like, dare I say it, I always said being good's boring. The fourth quarter, I was falling asleep. It was actually quite boring, to be honest, because we were just so good. Like, it was like watching a Tyson Fury fight, and we were ahead on points. There was no way we were losing it, and we were just showboating for the crowd. And I think Nick touched on something amazing, and I noted it in my review, but also when we were watching it, they came out as if they were playing Collingwood, as if they were playing Port, as if they were playing Melbourne. And I think the biggest respect you can play a shit side is you play with that vigour and you give them the respect and say, we're going to punish you because we're better, but we respect your craft. And that first quarter, that would have beaten any side in the comp. They were, from the first bounce, that first tackle, that first intent, we were at the races. And you know what? We laughed when we said danger game because we didn't believe it. That's the kind of mentality these boys have got to be in now. Against Collingwood, you bring that, it's the same type of players, just a different shirt. but the mentality stays the same. Don't give them time. Take away their space. And you know what? Come four quarters, just maybe we're singing the song.
How many, how many times over the past years have we turned up to a knife fight with a teaspoon? This past week, we turned up with a samurai sword. Like, yeah, that's what Carlton's got to be about. And I think we're proving if you turn up with that mentality, and it's not just turning up, it's the players who are in. Like, we had a handful of, we're going to be kind, fringe players getting their shot. And they know that when your chance comes, there's no Cripps, there's no Kennedy, there's no Chera in that midfield. Harry Mackay's out up forward. Jack Martin's out. There's a handful of guys missing from our best 22. And first choice midfielders, okay, guys like Dow who have been crying out for their chance, they got their chance and they took it. You know, none of those guys coming into the side on the weekend really stunk it up or looked out of place. They all played on brand. And I think that's not just showing that we've got a best 22 capable of this footy. I think that's showing that we've got depth and a squad capable of playing this footy, which is a really good sign.
I mean, we had two healthy players on the bench for a long portion of that game.
Two and a half quarters.
So Jack went down pretty early in that first. Lewis Young subbed on pretty much right away, let's say quarter time. Then Walsh came off, and then Motlop came off. We're a bit wounded, and we do have an update on the injuries, which we'll get to shortly. I think that's where I went into reflected. I was reflecting a lot during the game. I usually take notes. I didn't take any notes. I just wrote game over and quarter one and then put the phone in the pocket. It was like we yearned for times like this. We waited patiently in, you know, the disappointment of 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. Last season was obviously a lot more enjoyable apart from the end. But we waited so long for a time like this where we would beat up on a team, respectfully. And, yeah, it's just like, okay, we're here. We do this now. And we've done it twice to a team. And, yeah, I think it's really easy to get caught up in what's not going right. And sometimes you just need to sit back and realize what is going right. And I think that's what's happening at the moment.
Mate, spot on. Do you know, interesting little pom start. Least interchanges used by a side, Carlton, this week.
Really?
Since GWS versus Carlton at the Marvel when they beat us with 16 players, they had six last
when we had 16 on the field. They had 16 on the field.
So do you know what I mean? People talk about the second half, but I said it in the watch long because people were saying, oh, think about Geelong. And I was like, basic maths, 82 points is needed from Carlton to beat their percentage. Now, if they go all out and let's heaven forbid Charlie does a hammy, Kent does a hammy, chasing the game, would you be all going, yeah, we're ahead of Geelong on percentage. Woo! 70 points is more than enough. It puts us above everyone below us, right? Just got to get through it sometimes. And I thought my favourite part of that game was they had that little tail wag third quarter and then we switched it on, kicked two goals in a row and basically said, look how good we are. Do you really want to do this? Or do you just want to let... We'll give you the dignity of walking out here with a 70-point hiding. I thought that said a lot. That five-minute spurt where we went bang, bang, where it was basically us flexing and saying, this is how good we are. If you want to play, we'll kill you. We're going to be respectful and let you lose by 70. And well played. Everyone got through it. And you know what? Voss has copped a lot of shit. His changes this week without Cripps and Chera, remarkable. Doc, we've just done the whole thing, the ratings thing. 10 out of 10 game. Insane. Dow doing a pseudo Chera role and giving him the space and protection to play that role. Voss has copped hate. Voss is now starting to turn it on a little bit.
Yep. I think Voss has got a bit of a swagger back. An unnamed source, but someone very close to the club told me about a fortnight ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and his words were, Voss has his balls back. And you can just see the swagger. There's a bit of a peacock strut. He's just coming around again, and he looks like a man confident. 8 weeks ago, I'll put my hand up, I looked at him and I thought he was almost out of ideas. They weren't responding to the game plan that he was asking, or it just wasn't working. something has definitely flicked a switch confidence-wise, whether it was going down to Ed Curnow's farm and tasting some of his dam water wine or whatever he calls it. Whatever it is that's happened, there's been a circuit breaker, and you spoke about confidence players and that sort of stuff, Pom. I think a few guys are starting to get confident in their bodies again. You know, Dave Cunningham's now played 5 games in a row. To my knowledge, has he ever played 5 consecutive games in his career? If he has, he's probably done it once more. So someone like that just looks confident in his body all of a sudden. And the inclusions of guys like Cunningham have transformed us front of center. Mm. He's one guy. Fogarty's another one. Fogg's been in the reserves tearing it up earlier in the year, and rightly so. Everyone's been crying out to see Dow get a game, and Jackson Binns, who's pretty close, I've got to say. I've been looking at Fogarty getting 3 goals and 24 possessions every single week in the VFL. He's come in, and in terms of players on our squad, Fogarty is number 2 at Carlton for goal assists per game, only behind Walsh. Cunningham's 3rd on our list for goal assists per game. Inside 50s per game, both Fogarty and Cunningham, both in the top 10 at our club. Only Walsh, Chera, Paddy Dow's up there as well, so he's only come into the side recently. Tackles per game, Fogarty is leading tackler on our list per game. Almost an entire, so he's averaging 5.6 tackles a game. The next highest is Cripps at 5. So he's almost got an entire extra tackle per game than anyone else on our list. So they've transformed our side, and that's a sign of, we kept saying, if we're going to get better, we need it to come from guys like Cunningham and these sort of guys staying fit. We're starting to see the fruits of that. Now I can't help but think, if we can just get Caleb Marchbank on the park, we're starting to just, we're almost absolutely getting there now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to go through the votes for the game. And to be honest, I just want to be done with it, because what I've noticed is that the Collingwood supporters are back on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel in the chat. They want to talk. They want to get amongst it. They don't have a channel to watch tonight. I don't know.
It's nice to see people trying to aspire for greater things in life, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, well, it's an honor to be able to entertain the Collingwood fans on this Monday evening. Make sure you stick by 8:30 p.m. Juddy's on the channel as well, guys. Just bringing you entertainment for your Monday night. So those playing along at home, 3 votes, 2 votes, and 1 vote. We're going to get this out of the way because, mate, there are receipts to cash in this week. I've got 2 full draws in front of me with Collingwood receipts, and we just want to get into that. So chat, 3, 2, and 1. Nick, we'll start with you. How did your votes look?
C. Curnow went all right, so he gets 3 votes.
Yeah. Yep.
There's nothing you can say that hasn't been said. Best on ground by so far, it's not funny. I gave George Hewitt 2 votes. I thought, especially with no Cripps and Kennedy in there, as a big body, we needed him to throw himself around, and he did that really well. For me, I gave Doherty 1 vote. I thought he was outstanding. He's always been known as a good outside player, but his contested footy clearances, he was sublime on the weekend. I really thought he was a great, showed great leadership. Special mentions, I thought De Koning and Saad and Kemp also were really, really good, and I want to give them a mention. But yeah, Charlie, Hewitt, and Doc.
Love it. Love it. Pommy?
Okay, so I mean, got a few Collingwood fans in chat, so I'll make it easy. So 3, that's 1, 2, 3. Charlie Kerner. 2 votes, Sam Doherty. So that's 1, 2 votes for the Collingwood fans at home. Sam Doherty. And 1 vote, 1, just that one, just on its own. That's Mr. Georgie, return to form, Hewitt.
I like it. I went Charlie for 3, Doc for 2. I gave Walshy a 1. I've seen quite a few special quarters in my life, mostly from people like Juddy and Murphy and these types. Whatever Sam Walsh was on in that first quarter, I don't think I've seen him that prolific before. He was ready to risk it all and break all records if he kept going at that pace. It was phenomenal to watch.
There was one point where Carlton had four goals on the board, Walsh had eight disposals, and West Coast had eight disposals.
Mm.
Like, he was actually putting on... He could have actually turned out and, one for the ages it was on track for.
Yeah. Oh, I also saw something really funny. I think it was the Cheer Squad that might have posted it on Instagram. I can't remember, but it was... Shout out to Dom Sheed, who with, a kick late in the game was able to defeat Charlie Curnow for West Coast.
Not the first time he's done that to a side.
Yeah. that was very good. It's good to be happy. That's just what the situation is. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but it's just good to be happy and in the hunt and not thinking about Pommy doing trade videos and draft videos in July. You know, it's just good to be in the hunt for a spot, and that's really what it's all about. So the votes are there. I have one more question for the both of you. What are the emerging storylines or notions that you've picked up on personally over, whether it's just the weekend or things that are starting to really come to fruition? What have you picked up on? Pommy, I'll start with you.
The underlying, I said this, there's a spoiler for Jumper Punch tomorrow, but I think the big thing for me, I've noticed this week going into the Eagles game and going into the Collingwood game as well. If you'd asked me 6 weeks ago what was lagging behind, I came on the show and I had a massive pot shot at the Mathesons and I started the F the Mathesons chant. And I said that the board seemed to be really behind where the fans are. The level of expectation seems to be a disjointedness. And I feel like it's flipped, that the fans aren't having the confidence in the players. The players are showing, we believe we need you. And I feel that there's a vibe, particularly from the fan base, that we're just dragging our heels a bit. And I'd implore everyone to just give in. Give in, because this week, I can't think of a more exciting game. Easily the best side in the league, Collingwood. They are the front runners. They are leading it. We're coming to 100 metres and they are ahead. But, you know, there's one team that's got a bit of form that's starting to chase them. The old Moses Kiptanui. We're gaining. Give them some faith. Because if you're going into this game going, we've got no chance, we're going to get smashed, that's not what they need. The boys do need now. They've gained, in my opinion, they've gained our respect. I've been doing this, 4 years with you now, Terry? I have never seen a side that has earned the stripes so hard. They have given themselves, since that 12-minute mark in the first quarter against Gold Coast where they were pissing about and looked lackadaisical, something switched. And since then, someone's forgotten where the light switch is, and let's hope they never fucking find it. So go in there. Embrace it, because Terry, fuck me, 6 weeks ago, how dark was it before we pressed live, man? Like, Terry, you were like fucking a 90s REM album.
I've never... I'm telling you, I feel like everyone was broken in some way or another. They got me good. They got me good. I was in, we were questioning, Nick, we were questioning our purpose of life and waking up in the morning. Like, it was like, what is this all for? It's hilarious.
I couldn't help but see someone in the comments is there saying, a Collingwood fan, obviously, it must be parole day or something if they're out on YouTube. But anyway, they said something about, for Carlton fans, this is your grand final. For us, we call it Friday night. Well, we know how Collingwood go in grand finals. They always get there and choke. So, I can't wait to see that happen. But we all know the most likely pie you're going to see on grand final day, guys, 4-20. Because like always, this time of year is when the Collie Wobbles start. So I say bring them on. To all those Collingwood fans in the comments, if you can just take some time out, stop kissing your siblings on the lips, stop inbreeding. If you can take some time away from that, we'd love for you to turn up this Friday night and just just see how it goes. Carlton Collingwood, the oldest rivalry in footy for a reason, because we unashamedly hate you as a football team, and we live and our oxygen goes through our blood knowing that you hate us just as much. I think it's going to be an absolute ripper of a game. I don't care how many players we have out. It is no excuse. I don't care how good Collingwood Football Club are right now. They are so far and beyond the best team right now. It's not funny. I'm not scared of them. Bring them on.
I like it. I'll tell you something.
Baggers are back.
The Baggers are back. I'll tell you something I've noticed, which I'm pleasantly surprised. And that is, like, these boys have not experienced real success in the form of, you know, silverware, premierships, etc. They are not singing the song like a team that is happy with themselves yet. And you could make the point that the last 5 weeks, they've been bloody fantastic. And the way they sing the song is like a team that doesn't care about the, not that they don't care about the regular season, but you get what I'm saying? Like, they know that there's a bigger goal at the end. And I think there's a bit of maturity that's been shown there. Cause I think in a few years gone by, like when we beat Geelong, for example, in 2020, I remember that song so clearly. They belted it out. So now all of a sudden, winning's becoming normalized. And I've really noticed that from them, because you could argue last week was a really good win against a good opponent, top four side, top two side. And even the way they sung the song last week, there was just a little bit left. So I'm liking that they're leaving some energy for the song in the tank.
Good call. Well, the job's not done yet. Last year, at the end of last year, Vossie said, we are not satisfied with ninth. We are not satisfied with missing out on percentage. We do not make excuses that we ended the year with so many injuries, whatever it was. There was no excuses at the end of last year. And they said, we have to get, what was it? We have to be comfortable getting better, or we have to be take comfort in being uncomfortable or something.
Yeah.
This year has been nothing but uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's it. And we've been nothing but uncomfortable, but through that discomfort, it's starting to get better. So maybe, just maybe, they are on track. Now, are we going to win the flag this year? Of course we are. No. But in seriousness, like, the benchmark still is for this club to make a final and to win a final. And whether or not we beat Collingwood on the weekend, that is still a distinct possibility this year. But we've got a few receipts, as you said, Terry. The end of last year and how it finished for us, in the manner it finished for us, because of those black and white filth. We owe them plenty, to be honest. But this group have got a bit of redemption, and I really hope that it hurt them as much as it hurt the fans at the end of last year. Because if that playing group walk in onto the MCG on Friday night, not with that in mind, because, you know, you don't look backwards, you look forwards. But I've got no doubt that somewhere in the recess of their mind, they're just thinking, I know how that felt. These pricks aren't going to do that to us again.
It's an interesting point. It really is. Yeah. We're going to touch on Collingwood shortly. Just want to get through the little bits and pieces. Let's just recap the injury concerns, because a lot of people were concerned about that. So what do we know right now, guys? So this is what we can expect from the injury list. So Sam Walsh, low-grade hamstring strain, is going to miss about 2 to 3 weeks. It says at this stage. So he's not sleeping tonight. He's rehabbing every second of every day. You just know it. 100%. Silvani was a joint sprain to his knee. So a return to play timeline will become clearer as he works through his rehab over the coming weeks. Probably a bit more serious than what I thought it was initially. I don't know. But it doesn't look like...
That doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah. So we won't be with Walsh and Soss this week. We know that for sure. Jesse Motlop. This one's probably not as serious as what I thought it was. So it says he had a tight calf and he'll be a test this week. So that's a little tick there. Cripps, Chera, Martin, Owies, and Corey Durden are all a test to play this week. So, yeah, okay. We will lose Walsh. We will lose Jack Silvani. We will hopefully gain Martin, Cripps, and Chera at the least, and kind of go from there. So The injury list is, look, it's not ideal with Harry out as well. There's a few in now in our best 22, but Nick, as you said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're a system based, we're moving towards becoming a system based team that
look at Collingwood. The structure is what matters. Collingwood this year have had Billy Frampton playing in the ruck. They've had him playing centre half back. They've had him playing centre half forward. They've been plugging more holes than Hoover Dam, that mob, at certain times. But it's next man up. What can I do to make my teammate better, to make this team better, has been their mindset. And lately we've been seeing that from Carlton. And if we are going to compare ourselves to the top of the table side, we've got guys who are coming in and playing a role. We've got to play with that mentality you were saying about confidence, Pom. You know, these guys are starting to, A, realize that I don't have to, their job on the day might not necessarily look like I have to get 30 touches today and kick four. Your job today might be your direct opponent, don't let them touch it. Every time they go near it, whack him in the guts. That could be all your job is on the day. Do it. If you do your job and have confidence in your teammate to do theirs, 9 times out of 10, you'll get the job done.
Pommy?
I don't buy into the injury nonsense, to be honest. I've been consistent with this for 4 years. Like, excuses. Do you know what I mean? As soon as you're drafted, as soon as you take six figures, you're telling me you're ready, you're good enough to play. And finally, we're fucking seeing it, aren't we? Fogarty, whoever comes in just impresses. This is the first time I've ever seen a player like Fogarty come in and suddenly Durden does his shoulder and I don't give a shit. Usually I'd be crying because I'd be like, oh, we need Durden to replace Fogarty. He's garbage. Now I'm like, good, out for the year. Fog's job. See you next year, Durds. Have a pre-season. So whoever comes in, I know they're going to be hungry. There's something about this side. At the end of the day, winning around, 19, 20 fixture means fuck all. There's only one fixture I care about, and it's a fixture that I haven't even seen the month, let alone talking about it, the grand final. So this is just another stepping stone. If you're Zach Fisher, if you're Paddy Dow, whoever gets that job, this is a time to fucking make a name for yourself, kid, because there's players in that Collingwood list who, speaking to Collingwood, and hate to say it, I've got a lot of mates through this who are Collingwood because we've got kind of a mutual respect. It's weird. It's grown. We've grown on each other like genital warts. But there's a lot of players in their list that they didn't rate. Do you know what I mean? Brody Grundy leaving. Who would have thought Darcy Cameron would have become a quality ruckman? And these are opportunities that are afforded young players due to injury. Cameron got that gig, never looked back. So why can't this be someone else? Why can't this be Zach Fisher coming in and finally fucking owning it? Why can't this be Jack Carroll, Jackson Binns, Matty Owies, Dave from the Dog and Duck? This is a game here where they go in for the first time ever, the Blues, with zero fear. They've got nothing left to prove anymore. Because this last 5 weeks, they've answered every fucking question. The media, Twitter, Facebook, everyone has asked. They have answered it by 50 fucking points every week. So finally, they go into Collingwood, and why? Round 10, not one fucking Collingwood fucker was in the chat. Now they're all here. Why is that? Squeaky bum time. Do you know what I mean? Squeaky bum time. They're on the phone. Mama, tuck me in bed one more time. Please, Mama. Big Bad Crips is coming for us. They're scared. Do you know what I mean? This is the darkest day of their life. The biggest fear they've had since Dad says, don't worry, son, I'll be back. I'm going to go and get the milk. They're scared, man, because they know it might not happen. We've got nothing to lose. We lose, we're ninth versus first. We win, though. Questions are asked on them, not us. And people will start believing. I'll tell you this now. Gospel, I've said it 3 weeks in a row. 6 months ago, I guaranteed we'd play finals. I stand by that. Here's another POM guarantee. Whoever fucking wins this game wins the flag. Fact. Fact. Whoever wins it wins the flag this year. Fact.
I love it. Where has this
I
come
look forward
from?
To seeing you on grand final day then, mate. The three of us this year, Bev.
Naked. I'll be naked when Fisher kicks the winner in the final. Don't worry.
Did either of you catch the VFL from the standpoint of who performed that'd be available this week?
Mr. Marchbank. He back, baby. He back. Marchbank will be a good shout. He was very solid. And
but like, how... what made his game solid? Like, what, like, what was it about his game?
It just fluent, airily, fluent on the deck. The big question is how do you bring him in? Yeah, how do you bring him in though with McGovern and Kem? Are you going to go a bit too tall? That would be the question.
There's half an argument. Yeah, there's half an argument with no Harry and now no Silvani. Do you upset the apple cart down back? And I think we've found our back six. I really do. I think the back six that are currently back there are pretty, they're really settled. But I think that bar maybe Zach Williams when he's back ready for next year and maybe Jordan Boyd here or there, I don't think many of those guys currently in our back six are going to be going too far too soon. But if you bring back Marchie, it just offers a bit of flexibility for someone to run forward, whether it's either Kempy. I wouldn't be moving Kemp, but McGovern's the one who might just sneak forward. I know he's so important to our back six, but I think he offers a dynamic quality up forward that might just test Murphy and Moore. And, yeah, I think he's someone that when the ball hits the deck, he can offer him a bit. And he's someone who aerially, he can just keep someone like Darcy Moore accountable. I promise, I've got one guarantee. Darcy Moore won't be taking 14 intercept marks or whatever it was like last time, because that is a coach killer if that is allowed to happen again. Who I don't know who it is, but they'll be sending someone. And if Moore tries to go to Curno, well, then Charlie's going to running up the ground and see you later, go to all the smalls up forward. But... yeah, I just wouldn't mind seeing them just upset the apple cart. Could be deconing if Pitto plays, potentially. Pitto was all right. I think he only played about three quarters, Pom. They took him off as a precaution just late, just in case. And I think Hudson O'Keefe took the last quarter and a bit in the VFL. Same with Jack Carroll. So he only played really a half in the VFL. Again, not injured, nothing wrong, but he's only a bit of a precaution. So he's been really good in the twos lately. But, yeah, Marchie is a big shout to come in. And if he does, I think it offers the flexibility to throw one of those guys forward, maybe Gov.
I think Voss showed his hand as well with that, because it's the first time we've seen McGovern play a central position, not the intercept, and he gave Kemp full responsibility this week. And I think that might be Voss playing his hand, because that happened after Jesus got injured. I reckon that was Voss saying, Marchbank takes centre-half back. Ken, we trust you to be the exit. And March McGovern, you're going forward. Because Jesus literally gifted Charlie a few of them goals with his hard running. Mm. And McGovern does that. Yep. McGovern does that. And maybe it's not pretty, but I would trust all he's got to do is be a target. All he's got to do is be a target. And let's be honest, people say McGovern, oh, he's temperamental up forward. Statistically, he's well ahead of Jesus. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, Jesus has never kicked 40 in his life. Do you know what I mean? But yep. McGovern did. So for a couple of weeks, do that. Jesus is out. Jack Martin comes in there to help McGovern out. And that looked pretty tasty when we had two mid-size and Curno versus Port. Very similar backline as well, Collingwood, in makeup and size. So... why don't you do it? And Marchbank is ball use. Oh, there's something about Marchbank. And the only other guy we can talk about is O'Brien. But O'Brien, this is his first good game all year for the VFL. But defensively, O'Brien was like the French during World War II. Honestly, like you watch Holland and you watch Akers and then you watch O'Brien play VFL. Like, fuck me. Please, no. Looking at their wingers, if O'Brien is on that wing, I am sticking my mortgage on side bottom to have 40 touches if he plays against O'Brien. Holland's going to keep him accountable, so I don't think O'Brien deserves a go. One good game all year. Bev, World War II always. It's the only time.
Yeah, go Nick.
There's absolutely no way that someone like O'Brien gets a gig, especially, like, I don't think Hollins was half bad. I thought he kind of ran through the midfield a bit on the weekend. The VFL game he played, he was in centre bounces quite often. And so I think that he just offers a lot more. And if they are going for someone on that outside, I think Binns is even closer than O'Brien. O'Brien was good on the weekend, but I think body of work for the season, I think Binsey's ahead of O'Brien right now as well.
I'll tell you what, the chat is up and about. This is one of the funnier one-liners I've seen. Sard will play a lockdown role on Elliott like he did on Pal Capsicum. I'm all about it,
Marty.
Love it. Nick, ahead of this game this week against the Pies, the cheer squad, I've got a bit of an initiative going on. Well, not just this week, but I think for the rest of the year. Can you shed some light on what is the story?
Every week. Yeah, so Cheer Squad, we got into a position about, it coincided when you said everyone was doing a bit of soul searching around after the Essendon loss and everything a couple of weeks ago. And Cheer Squad, no different in that. We're very active in our fundraising and that sort of thing. Every single week we'll have a raffle up, and that's our way of raising funds for ourselves, for our banners and materials and stuff like that. But we also give back to the club sponsoring. We sponsor four players now, two of the AFLW players, two of the AFL men players. We've donated $10,000 on Good Friday. And, you know, we're very active with our fundraising efforts. And we kind of thought that we've spent a lot of the year asking a lot of Carlton from Carlton fans and not necessarily giving back a lot. So we've decided every single week for the rest of the year, every Victorian game, we're going to do a little competition online where people can win passes to go on the ground and raise the banner with the side. So we've done that the last 2 weeks in Melbourne, and we are doing it this weekend versus the Pies. A lucky winner, I think her name is Keely, this weekend has won. So she's going to be going out on the ground in front of over 95,000 people on the G on a Friday night to help raise the banner as the boys run out, which is something that us Cheer Squad people, I'm going to be really honest, tend to take for granted. It's something we do every week, but I'll tell everybody, when it's a packed MCG on a Friday night, you cannot ever get sick of that experience. So everyone out there, all Baggers fans, there is no requirements of you to win this. All we ask is keep an eye on the Cheer Squad social media, both Instagram and Facebook. And every Sunday, whether it's game day, unless it's game day, but every Sunday we'll be posting on our Facebook and our Instagram. All you've got to do is tag two people in the comments that you think you would take on the ground with you and follow the Cheer Squad on those social medias. That's all you need to do. And we're picking a winner at random each week. And, it's our way of kind of giving back to for Carlton fans and just putting some smiles on faces because, you know, on the weekend I wasn't at the game, but it was a pretty boring last quarter. But I got to say, when I heard Charlie kick that 10th goal, I audibly heard an entire Marvel Stadium bowing and doing the Charlie chant. And that's goosebump stuff for me. So Carlton fans have put up with a lot of crap for the last however many years, and we've allowed ourselves to, you know, be the butt of a lot of jokes, but shit, we're a loyal bunch. What have we got? 92,000 members at the moment. I think it's about time that, you know, Carlton fans were acknowledged. So this is one way that we're acknowledging them and just giving back a little bit.
Yeah, man, it's incredible. Well, I've put the Instagram in the live chat and I've pinned it to the top of the live chat. So for those of you watching on YouTube, head to the Instagram, hit follow. There'll be a post coming out for this, right?
Yep. So we've done one for this week. This week we've already chosen a winner. So Healy's going to come on ground. But right, Next week onwards, so we've still got Melbourne, St Kilda, GWS, three more games after this weekend in Melbourne.
Yep.
So each of those games we will be giving away ground passes to everyone to go on the ground. And there you go. If you are interested in future weeks, if going on the ground to be part of the Guard of Honour or be part of the team raising the banner each week, come and say good day. Make yourself known. Come and say good day to the Cheer Squad. And if it's something we can do, 100%. If you're the type who lives interstate and we're coming up to the Gold Coast in a couple of weeks, If you live interstate or you're traveling to the Gold Coast for that game, hit us up on Instagram where you can possibly get you out on the ground or something for that game. As I said, it's something that we feel we take for granted because we do get close proximity to the players. We do get to see a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we are very privileged to be in that position. And that's an experience that we've realized that means a hell of a lot to other Carlton fans. So this is one little way for us to be able to give back to them.
Love it. Love it. Well, we appreciate that. So make sure you're following the Instagram page for next week. And we'll go from there. Quickly, we had an update last week on the AFLW. We got a damn fixture. I'm going to get back on board. I'm going to give them another chance. I left. I broke up with them last year. I'm not going to lie.
I broke up with them.
Yeah, it was a bad break. Oh, I've had some bad breakups. Yeah, we won't go there. But I thought I would just need to get out of my space for a little while. But I like what I'm seeing so far. And I'm just a simp for when they're up and about. Do you know much about the new coach and the new program?
I've my meeting him was the other night at Banner Night. He literally walked through the room and I kind of shook his hand and said, "G'day." That's about all I've met of him. It's no secret to those who know me or have ever seen any of the AFLW show. Shout out to Shannon and Kira on here. Any time I've ever been mentioning AFLW on this platform or in person, that I was not a fan of Daniel Harford as a coach or a person, to be honest, if I'm going to be really blunt. And Bucky seems to be the absolute opposite personality type of that. So automatically I'm a rat for him. But what he does seem, he's a teaching background, and I think we're into the rebuild of that squad now. They're a young team, Carlton. There's a lot of talent there, though, but he just seems to be the sort of person who's not only going to mould them as footballers, but mould them as people. But what I have noticed is a buy-in of those established players. Darcy Vesio looks very bought in at the moment. Mua looks bought in. Kieran Harrington seems very invested right now. And I'm seeing Mimi Hill, who's only, we forget, you know, she's a gun, but we're forgetting that Mimi Hill is only, she's 21, I think, she's young. 21.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing her become a leader before my eyes. I saw an interview with Mim recently, and John O'Barak was also one who pointed this out to me because he went to AFLW training. He said, and his words were, "Keep an eye on Mia Austin. We're about to see the next big thing of the AFLW." So she was drafted last year, never got to see her because of injury. But the raps on her are huge. Key forward, someone to replace what we've lost with Taylor Harris, to be really blunt. And then there was an interview I saw with Mimi Hill the other day, and she said that the sky is the limit for Mia. Could be anything, you know, watch out. She's about to become a massive star. So I think they're excited, and it's been at least a couple of years since we've said that about our AFLW side. So if they're excited, I've got reason to be excited. Absolutely. I think everyone else should be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Shannon and Kira will be back soon. Shannon's in the chat right now. Shannon, we've got to do. We got to do a season preview at some point.
6 weeks till the season starts, mate.
I need to get onto that and start organizing some things. But that's exciting. It's going to give us another layer to the club to watch and engage in and see how they can, you know, rebuild and come back stronger. So that's the AFLW. Now back to Collingwood, because we've just been chomping at the bit. I want to touch on both of your memories of Collingwood. Like, what stands out? Pommy, I'll start with you. You came to Australia in 2013. Is that right?
Indeed, yeah. So, history time.
Yeah, give us your experience being, you know, a decade into this experience with the Blues. Collingwood. What comes to mind?
Well, I think as a foreigner, when I get Australians come to my country and they start picking up round ball, they're always drawn to like the historical relevance of games. So, you know, your Manchester United versus your Liverpools, in recent times, Man United, Man City, because Man City are now relevant. Your Rangers, Celtic, they're the games that attract you because the crowd noise is infinitely louder than everything else, and your cities and your towns stand still. And I think Carlton Collingwood has been that game for me. It's, I think, like all clubs, I'm outside of my native land. I can see Celtic fans, I hate to admit it, are very similar to Rangers fans. They've just got a different mindset, but they love their club. They're blind. They're one-sided. They're moronic sometimes when it's going wrong and going right. And I think we all hate to admit it, us and Pies are very similar in the fact we will defend our club black and blue. We can slag our club off. You dare say anything about it, we'll kill you. And you see it when Tom Brown starts his ridiculousness about Collingwood jump in. When Carlton are in the papers, we jump in. And we are the two biggest sides in the land. And for all the other 16 clubs, we are literally propping them up. And even when we're shit, we're paying the AFL to keep this Mickey Mouse League going. When Collingwood were down at the bottom, they were doing it. And it's the biggest game, isn't it? It's the heritage. There's something wonderful about this game. You only see the chat. It fires up. I love Swoop Luke. He's my boy. But this week, I just want to chin the little prick. And I don't know what it is. Something infers me. He annoys me. And this game is heated, isn't it? Even when we were horrible 2018, it always stands out that we had Sam Rowe in the ruck. Do you know what I mean? Sam Rowe in the ruck. Backs against the wall. Worst side probably ever to play the game. But there was that fight from the boys. Jesus trying to chin Scott Pendlebury. Something happens to the players. Something happens to the fans. And it's been nice the last 2 years they've started to have a bit of relevance, because I think the AFL needs it. Round 23, as heartbreaking as it is, probably the most fun I've ever had on a watch-along. Even though we lost, like, every emotion I've ever felt in sport, I had for 4 weeks. For four quarters, I had every emotion. The highs, the lows, wanted to kill people, wanted to cry, wanted to laugh. And brings out a different side of us, doesn't it? And this is it, isn't it? Because to not give them that dint and it be us to do it when the media has handed them the trophy would be something, wouldn't it? To put us in the eight, that would be the sex, wouldn't it? That would be it. The icing on the cake, the coup de grace, that would be it.
Nick, Collingwood, discuss.
I think this playing group are just entering Act 3 of our story. Act 1 was the rebuild. That was the rubbish stuff. That was the struggle, the hard times. I genuinely feel that Act 2 was us getting a taste. We got so close. We could taste finals last year. We were just getting there, and those pricks pulled the rug from under us. And, you know, full credit to them. It wasn't a fluke. They've done that every week last year, and they're continuing to do it every week this year to other sides. If we're able to knock them off, and that is ultimately what gets us into the eight this year, talk about a redemption story. Talk about an arc, a storyline. There is no better way than making yourselves in there. When you're saying what conjures up what memories or what thoughts when you think of Collingwood. One of my earlier memories, I was only about 10 or so, maybe 11. It would have been 11. Yeah, so we beat them in 2000. The last suburban game or whatever it was. We played them at Princes Park, Carlton and Collingwood, and we beat them by 111 points from memory. It was 28-12 to 10-something. 111 points. We absolutely pasted them that day. And I'm pretty sure that Lance Whitnall kicked 5 and Beaumont kicked 5 and everyone had a crack. And 2 years later, now they were at the lowest of their lows and Maguire came in. Only 2 years later, they beat us by 100 points in 2000 and handed us our first ever wooden spoon. So no matter where you are on the ladder, these two teams are always a shout against each other, and it doesn't take long for each side to kind of bounce back against one another. I think Carlton just always find a way to lift against them. I remember the week, it just happened to be poetically, the week after Serge Silvani passed away a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, and Jack sat on Quainer's head and then kicked the winning goal and pointed to the skies for Nono and all that sort of stuff. That's stuff that I'll remember for the rest of my life. I remember Dale Thomas selling enough candy to Tyson Goldsack that he gave the prick diabetes and put him in about row eight, like, and to kick the winner, Daisy Thomas, against his old club. These are the memories that Carlton fans will remember for a long time. I just really hope that, and as I said before, I think the playing group, it's not the forefront of their mind, but it's in there somewhere. They've got a few receipts to cash, and, you know, I've just got a sneaky feeling that there's a few memories, hopefully good ones, but there's a few memories that are still yet to be written for this playing group and their story as it evolves.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at this group in particular, if we talk about this particular, you know, this the rebuild group, I don't know what you call it. I'm just looking now. So we beat them in 2021, MCG, the Serge Silvani tribute game. That was in front of nobody. There were no fans at the MCG. They were in lockdown. I'm scrolling down now. The time that we beat Collingwood before that is round Davey. 7, 2017. Yeah. That was early in the Davey season.
Selling the candy?
No, that was 20. Oh. I'm sure that was 2014. No, you're right.
Denny's definitely 2017.
You're absolutely spot on. Yeah. So,
it was career one logo. I remember the jumper.
Yeah. We haven't seen this group in their mature form beat Collingwood while being in the crowd. So it's important. It's important. Yeah. Like we need the memory. And the first time that this group do it in front of us properly is going to be a special one. And it's absolutely going to be this Friday night. I don't give a shit.
But you want to talk about confidence, like, whether or not it becomes one final, two finals, 10 final, whatever. Beating a side like Port gave our team a bit of confidence no matter who they had playing and who they had out. Beat Collingwood, our playing group well and truly realised, oh, shit, we can do this.
Yep.
And it becomes real. And I think it becomes real for the fans as well. I think it's the fans have believed, I mean, 92,000 members, no matter what they've been dishing up to us the last 10 years, we've been believing as we keep turning up. And in record numbers, 10 consecutive years in a row. So the fans already believe.
Yeah.
I think the players, if they start genuinely, if the penny drops, it might just be beating the best side in the comp. But as the song goes, we all love it when Collingwood choke.
Ain't that the truth?
Let's hope it's coming.
Well, I feel like what this Friday could do for the fan base is really unify everyone. Because I think if they get the job done on Friday, there's no question all fans believe, all of us believe that, okay, this is it. I don't know what it's going to turn into, but, you know, we're legit. I think there's been some reservations and, you know, rightly or wrongly, whether people are just being a bit cautious because we've been burnt in the past and every time they give in to their feelings, they get burnt and they're just trying to protect themselves or they just don't believe. This week would be the one where it really gets everyone believing. And that's the most exciting part. So it's a sellout. I think I saw earlier today, the reserve seats are now sold out as well.
I would be surprised if it's not. We're getting okay crowds ourselves, but I think Collingwood got like 66,000 against bloody Fremantle at the G. So they're home fans. They're turning up. Barring a cyclone, there'll be 95 plus there.
Yeah. So, I'm pumped. Pom, watch along. What's that going to look like?
Well, I mean, there's been a few here who've seen it. This game means something to me. Like, no one does rivalries as well as the Poms. We are head and shoulders beyond any rivalry. We take this serious. So, like, I can tell you this week, I fucking hate Collingwood. Like, honestly, I would die for this football club and take as many pies with me. Fucking can't stand them.
Yep.
I hate everything about them. I know I've got a few Collingwood subs, but for 1 week only, I can't even be nice to them. And for me, we're going to hear loads of shit. You know, Collingwood fans are going to be doing it. You haven't beaten us in front of a crowd. we've got the Woods, we've got the record. No one gives a fuck. History is history. I'm sick of, trust me, you've watched enough of me now, Terry, to know I don't give a fuck about history. No one cares. No one cares. What happened last week doesn't matter next week. And this, for me, so much on the line for these boys psychologically. I thought last year, round 23, we're seeing Sydney with us for a bit. Sydney, they're struggling from that grand final. I think we had a hangover from the Collingwood. They did strongly do a number agree. On us.
Strongly agree.
And it's taken us probably, what, 12 weeks of the season to break that hangover?
Well, it you wasn't don't just think Collingwood. It was Collingwood and Melbourne.
And you don't think, you don't think Cripper's looking at this and going, I can fucking get my balls back. I can get my pride back. I can stick one over these turds and get us where we fucking should have been last year. Because they win this, fuck finals, top six, Terry. They win this, it swings that count and are looking for a home elimination final, not clinging on. We've fucking got the home one. That's a double chance for us because at the G, 100,000 people, we ain't losing that elimination final. We ain't losing it. Mark my words. It's at home. Carlton win. So this is huge.
Carlton haven't lost in September since 2013, mate.
Exactly. Unbeaten, baby.
Just got to get there.
So when we get there, we're a good thing, mate.
This is it. Do you know what I mean? This is it. And no regret. Don't put words in my mouth. Twitter's bad, mate. Twitter's bad. Everyone's saying that I'm Piers Morgan. I'm the only English person who's humbled and given the Australians their prop. History means nothing to me. This is where they create their own history. This is where they step out of Styx Kernaghan, fucking every player's shadow. This is where they create their own fucking history. Because I am tired of hearing about the old players. I couldn't give a fuck. I want to hear about Cripper. I want to hear about TDK, Jack Silvani. That time, Charlie Kerno did some twinkle toes and made Darcy Moore look like the fuck stick he is. That's what I want to fucking talk about. And this is it. And everyone in chat, stop being a wet wipe. Put your big boy and girl pants on. Stop going, oh, we lose. Oh, we get under pressure. Fuck that. This week, Friday, it changes. We smash these fuckers. We smash these fuckers back to the cave-dwelling trolls they are. And we fucking take the eight and we own the eight and we fucking run home with it. We run home with it. Because when we win this, we're winning the flag. It's ours. We're the dogs. We're the tigers. Flag 17 is coming. And when we win 17, no fucker in chat can ever mention 95 again. It'll be 2023. That's all you talk about. Fucking get it done.
You could convince me to enlist, I swear to God.
I promise.
I'm fired up as a fucking... Yeah, I could run through a brick wall after listening to you, mate. I swear to God, you are a star.
Mate, I can't. Yeah, I'm. My palms are actually sweating.
Knees weak, arms are heavy.
Oh gosh. Okay, so I guess predictions are that we're going to win this week. What else? What else is on your mind, guys? Any other items on the agenda? I've got a few things to show for Jumper Punch, and before we wrap it up, anything else on your minds?
You said Pom said he wants to see the current playing group make their mark on our club and make our own history currently. As you were saying that, Pom, first person that came to mind is a bloke called Charlie Kerno. So Charlie has, a couple of weeks ago, created a record for the first Carlton player to kick 50 goals in back-to-back seasons since Favola in 08-09. If he goes on, which it looks like he's about to do, and get back-to-back Colemans, only four people in the AFL era have ever done that. Dunstall, Lockett, Lloyd, and Gehrig. Oh, actually, I lie, five. Josh Kennedy. So five. He'll be only the sixth player in the AFL era to do that. So that's a massive compliment. On what this bloke's talent is. And for a bloke like Charlie to come back from two knee recos, it wasn't just one injury, his legs were made of fucking paper mache at one point a couple of years ago, and he was, let's not paint a too bleak of a picture, but he was genuinely on the chopping block as a career. He was very close. Pom's voodoo doll, giving it all the cuddles he did, brought him back. It wasn't Jack Russell. It was all Pom. But no, like, I don't think people yet realize the magnitude of what he is currently achieving.
Yeah.
Brendan Favola, we all think of him as this, and he was. He was the reason Carlton fans turned up to the footy for a decade. But as good as he was, he never kicked 10 in a game. Charlie's done that. So there's more history being made. Like, Charlie, for me, I still think, if it's possible, is somehow still not rated as he should be. People are trying to undersell, oh, but 19 of his goals have come against West Coast, and other teams have played West Coast twice. Do they kick 19 goals on them? Like, it's like we're the only team that's ever played West Coast twice in a season.
Mm-hmm.
So what Charlie's producing right now is world-class football. He is at the absolute top of his game, and doing so coming off two knee recos. And I think Carlton fans, all fans, have to give him his flowers right now. It's marvellous.
Yeah. I think, you know what I'm actually really enjoying? I think 10 years ago, I would have been getting into arguments online about why Murph was a top five player in the competition, why Juddy was a top five player in the competition, and why Jammo's underrated and he should be an All-Australian squad. And now I'm weirdly enjoying being underrated and not believed in. I'm weirdly enjoying Jacob Wiedering not being in the conversation on the outside. I'm loving the fact that all the conversation is around Nick Dacos and Bont and all of these guys, and we don't have players who are in that top two, top three conversation, and we just continue to get the job done. It suits us traditionally to be a bit of an underdog, and I'm just here for the slander. I'm enjoying the Carlton slander because I'm watching this undertone develop that's going to turn on all of the doubt, and I'm here for it.
We're getting hated again. They've pitied. The reality is we've been pitied for 10 years.
Yes.
Even Carlton fans, everyone's taken their shots while they could, knowing it's going to be fun. But I've had so many people go, oh, but gee, when Carlton get good again, gee, it's going to be... I don't want them to fucking pity us. We're Carlton, yeah? And those people are starting to arc up again. And that, you know, dare I say it, they know we're coming.
I just want to know where that Luke Cabroni is. Do you remember, Terry, doing this show 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. And I said, this little fucker here was going to win the Coleman. And he dropped that comment, what does a pommy cunt know about football? Peter Wright will kick more goals than him.
AFL evolution, maybe, fuck.
I can't wait for Charlie to do a number on that fucking Darcy Moore. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
But now, this is it. This is it. This is what we're all waiting for. My one request, though, is can the cheer squad drop the Charlie chant? The Charlie clap. It needs to go. We need the Charlie bang my wife song at the G. I'm telling you now, a man of this caliber deserves more than Charlie clap, clap, clap. He deserves a full-blown song.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's this Charlie clap? I've never heard Charlie clap, clap, clap.
We need the Charlie bang your wife song. Come on, Nick. Give it to me.
I've never heard this Charlie clap, clap. Whoever said that to you is making shit up. Never heard
there such was a There was a long-winded Charlie chant which started when he kicked his 10th, which I thought was really cool. Yeah. I'd never heard that before. Obviously, it's a special moment. He'd kicked 10. We actually spoke about it on BA Saturdays a few weeks ago. We were watching videos of chants from other sports, and I'm like, you know, Port Adelaide have never
heard apart. Nick, come on.
Collingwood have the long-winded Collingwood, and it's like, do we have something like that that we can, I don't know, like, I feel like you've got to kind of naturally let it happen.
It has to happen organically.
Yes.
We've got the Wolf and all those sort of things. They're very the unique.
Very the Wolf gets going. Yeah.
I just want the 80,000 people erupting Charlie bang your wife.
My wife's more of an Ed Curnow type of girl.
unfortunately, the song doesn't lie, Michelle. Song doesn't lie. Golly, the song doesn't lie. Tell you.
Yeah. There's only one Charlie Curnow, mate. There's only one. Okay. I think that's it. Let's talk a bit about what's coming up this week. So the Cheer Squad mentioned this just now. Where are we? The raffle. I think it was George Hewitt.
George Hewitt. George's 150th game on Friday.
George's 150th game on Friday. Fantastic. Good to know.
And full credit to him, yeah? Like, he was amazing on the weekend. And he found himself on the outs a bit of times this year with, I think the club have decided that Kennedy, Cripps and Hewitt all in the same midfield isn't a thing they're going to be doing a hell of a lot going forward. Full credit to him. Now with the other guys out, he's stood up and, you know, he's been a ripper signing for us. Free agent, yeah? Like, full credit to Nick Austin there. But, yeah, get around George this weekend. Top of, what are we, M3. We're playing the Pies. Always M3. Yeah, come say good day and support the Cheer Squad and get around it.
Love that. Love that. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. here on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel, the Jumper Punch will air. And this is the guest.
Rod Austin, Carlton Premiership player. Hope you watch Jumper Punch 7 p.m. Tuesday and enjoy the interview.
Plummy, I'm led to believe you were on the couch.
Mate, your sources tell you cracked. I was, yeah. Like, well, I can't believe they've run with a Austin promo.
You think you should be the promo, mate?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't have a flag. I don't have a flag. And my kids aren't Nick Austin. But come on. Come on.
That's when your daughter-in-law goes on Survivor, maybe we'll put you in there. Oh, yeah.
That is going to be a lot of fun. Pommy, what's coming up on the Pommy and Oz YouTube channel, mate?
I have no idea. We have our selection on Wednesday, where the beautiful Terry will join us along with Leck Dog, your favourite chap, because he guaranteed the Eagles would win. He got that wrong. And the wonderful Ian. We will have a Collingwood preview up probably Wednesday, the same day. We will have a VFL wrap tomorrow. And I'll work on a little pump up. I've got something in the pipeline for Collingwood, a little bit different. Just going to stir the pot a little bit because I've been quiet this year. I've been really well behaved.
Yeah.
So I think it's time that I embrace my true heritage and be a bit of a twat for a week on socials.
Love it. Love it. Well, guys, if you are on the if you've seen the Blue Abroad on the other social media platforms, you'll know that today was a very special day. And tonight's a very special night because at 8:30, Chris Judd joins me for a chat on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel. I'll play you a little teaser.
Play video like that, bloke. I've heard of him.
Hmm. He could. So this clip I'm about to show from the interview is not in the interview, but sometimes you just got to have a laugh at yourself when things don't go right. So have a look at what happened during our interview and just keep an eye on the blue light in the background. Look at this.
Whatever the number is, the intensity of the game is just it's just manic and wildly impressive what the players are able to do week in, week out.
Stand by. The blue light was me on the inside.
When I saw that man play football, I never really went like that. I was more doing that when I saw him play football. So,
mate,
he had the reverse effect on me.
Yeah, he was a bloody great.
An all-time.
Yeah. It was a good time to be a Carlton supporter. I was 16 at the time, so it was, you know, teenage years, just completely obsessed with everything, going all in. Not that I'm not obsessed now, but, yeah, he brought a lot of special memories. So it was it's crazy, full circle moment. 16 years later, I'm chatting with the great man. Now, he was very good. So at 8:30, that'll be premiering on the channel. please,
massive, mate.
Hit the subscribe button. The content will remain free, I promise you. But what I need in exchange, what we need in exchange, is for you to hit the subscribe button so we can keep the content free. So if you're not subscribed, hit the subscription button. It's free to subscribe. And yeah, I hope you all enjoy the chat. Nick, what's coming up on the Cheese Squad front? What does the lead up to Friday look like?
So today is Monday night. So Wednesday night will be banner night at the club.
Wednesday?
I'm looking forward to that one. That'll always be a good fun time. And then Friday, it's all systems go, I think. I think there's going to be a packed house. What I can promise is noise. What I can promise is colour. And I'll make a pledge to Pom. If we get up, I'll personally get the Charlie chant going myself. And I might even let him shag my wife. I don't like, she'll but I'll just let him know. I'll just say, look, if you're up for it, you know, I don't even have to watch. I'll just, you know, go for
it. I'm sure Mrs. Pom will put her hand up as well.
Yeah, I'm tipping the line will be longer than fucking Flemington Street. We're going to be having a crack, boys and girls included. But, yeah, no, I think we're in for a ripper. I just hope everyone enjoys it, to be honest. Everyone except the bricks down at the Ponsford end.
Yeah. Well, let's get off the air. Let's get off the air. Guys, thanks for being here. Nick, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Good to have you on again. Tommy, always a pleasure to have you, mate.
Sorry.
That's okay. See you, everybody. See you in 10 minutes. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Blues.